Some of those things matter more than they should, I think. And they do matter. But you know, I've been thinking about all the stuff that happens in the world today. You know, an earthquake happened in Nepal a few weeks ago. Mike, is he leaving there today or has he left already? Yeah, I had a talk to Mike the day after by phone, and we had a long, long conversation about going there and staying and what needs to be done there or not. You know, certainly they need to raise money and they need to do some things, but what the world needs to see when there's a crisis like this is they need to see the love of Jesus. And when the love of Jesus is manifest, then we will feed the hungry. We will rebuild the homes. You know, there was those earthquakes, and there's ISIS running rampant, beheading Christians and ransacking cities and running people out of their homes and killing children and kidnapping young girls and raping them and stoning them and all the rest of it. That's how I felt too. But you know, that's been as about limited response as the church has made. But what these people need is Jesus. And we're getting hung up on whether they're still wearing hijabs or whether they're saying, Jesus, help us. Well, Jesus won't help you if you're wearing that stuff around your face. Would we please just shut up sometimes and allow the Holy Spirit to say, I don't care what you're wearing. I don't care if you're naked. I don't care if you're a homosexual or an adulterer. Jesus loves you, and that's the first point of change that will come into your life. Let Him worry about the other stuff. Now, I'm not saying, listen, I grew up in this thing. I grew up in the holiness thing, and I know the rules. I could quote you the rules. I've lived by the rules, and I still want to do that. But at the end of the day, what matters is what Jesus wants to come and reveal to us. We have lived in a world that has said, play by my rules and you can join our club. Jesus says, I want to love you. I want to bring you into the club. And then I want to show you what it means to actually be my disciple. That's why He gave the Holy Spirit. That's why we're celebrating Pentecost. That's why we are the church. Amen. We're not the church to put up a whole list of rules and regulations and say, play by that or you can't come and sit here. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying anything goes. I'm saying the whole reason Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to convict us concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment, not to be judge, jury, and executioner. You see, when the Holy Spirit in me and the presence of the Holy Spirit in me begins to come in contact with the world around me, He will bring righteous a conviction. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? I'll illustrate this to you. When I first came out of Bible school, I worked in a retail store just to support us and kind of get us through those initial years of ministry. And this was the most godless place I had ever experienced in my life. I grew up in the church. You're a Christian family. I went to a public school, but every day of our lives there was a church meeting or church friends or some Christian expression, community Christian expression I'm talking about. And I knew all the rules and all the stuff. And when I went to work for this place, people knew who I was. People knew what I stood for. People knew what I was training to do. And so we'd go sit in the lunchroom and we'd be talking or playing cards and all these words would be coming out. And then one day I began to notice people would swear and they'd go, oh, excuse me, Ian. See, what was happening is they were responding to the presence of the Holy Spirit within me. I'd like to say I never preached to them, but I can't say that I did try that, you know. You sinner! And you know, sometimes, especially if you're a little bit prophetic, you feel the need to say something. Sometimes a good prophetic word is shut up. Sometimes, you see, it's not the fact that you can prophesy that brings change in people's lives. It's the fact that the Holy Spirit is speaking through you. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel," people were convinced in their heart because what he was doing was speaking the word of God. At this point, I should probably open my notes, but it doesn't really matter right now. The church cannot be the church without the power of the Holy Spirit. We can have our rules and regulations, and certainly some of those are necessary. We can have our way of doing things, and I'm not booing traditions of any sort, but let's understand, are we doing our traditions, are we being traditional simply because we've always done it that way, or are we doing it because it has some deep meaning to us, and it has meaning to the point that when that meaning has accomplished what it needs to, we're willing to let it go and take a hold of the new thing God's doing. You see, I don't mind singing songs and doing an offering and announcements and preaching the word. There is a certain meaning to that. But there comes a point where we think, what's it about? Are we just going through the motions? I'm sick of going through the motions. In fact, if I could quote Revelation chapter 3 in the New Ian's version, God says, "You make me want to chuck." And the King James says, "Because you are neither hot or cold, I will spew you out of my mouth." But really what he's saying is, you make me want to spew. I don't want to make God sick. In that same chapter, he says, "I'm standing at the door knocking. Will you just hear my voice?" But you're lukewarm. You're going through the stuff. And I'm trying to tell you what I want. You just keep doing the stuff. And often we can do the stuff because our hearts are well-intentioned, but they're not tuned to what His Holy Spirit is saying. Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost to say, "Okay, guys, this is what I want you to say. I don't understand." Oh, but people, everyone in Jerusalem heard them praising God and speaking the wonders of God in their own language. "Yeah, well, if you just come along to our meeting, we have a healing evangelist there this week, you can be healed. If you can just come along to our meeting, we got a guy that's prophesying over there, and he can give you a word. If you just come along to our meeting, if you're depressed, well, this guy comes, and he's got the joy anointing, and you can laugh, and everything will be okay." And I thank God for the thousands of lives that have been impacted, millions of lives that have been impacted by those kinds of ministries. But there are billions of life that are going to hell because the church just wants to come to a meeting instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to work with them. You want the glory of God? You want the glory of God to be spread through the earth, to be known. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That is not going to happen because we have a Holy Ghost meeting in a stadium. I've been talking to some people. Where's my water? I've been talking to some people about just some of the things we do when I travel around. You wouldn't believe how many people are willing to come with me if I'm doing meetings in a stadium. How many people are going to be there? How many people are getting saved in each of your meetings? And see, that's the problem. They're my meetings. And as wonderful as they are, and as thankful as I am to God for using me in those situations, and I'm not saying we should discontinue doing that, but the knowledge of the glory of God doesn't fill the earth because Ian stands before 10,000 people. I've done that. Believe me, I've done that, and God has moved, but that does not fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God. I did that in the Philippines two years ago, stood before 10,000 people live, and it went on national television, and the Philippines still is not fully saved. In fact, some of the biggest sex trafficking problems in the world are in that region. But you had a meeting with 10,000 people that was televised nationally, and you prophesied to the politicians and people. You know how the knowledge of the glory of God fills the earth? Is when you and I allow that Pentecost experience. Notice I didn't say Pentecostal. See, Pentecostalism becomes a tradition. Well, we're Pentecostals. Hubba bubba. I'm serious. You got to get the baptism. Well, yes, you do. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not so you could join a tongue-speaking club. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is so that the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And so it doesn't matter if you're going to a village where there's only 20 people or to a city where there's 2 million people. It doesn't matter if you do a meeting for 2 people or for 20,000 people. The knowledge of the glory of God is going out. And if 120 people in an upper room in the city of Jerusalem that was filled with probably 30 to 40,000 people at that time, if 120 people can go out from Jerusalem and change the world, imagine what a billion Christians can do if they get turned on to the power of the Holy Spirit. Just imagine. A church without the dynamic of the Holy Spirit is not really the church. We're just a club. We're just a meeting. I don't want City Lights Church to be 40 or 50 people or 60 or 100 people or even 10,000 people that are just meeting in a building somewhere. I think God's plan for City Lights Church is that people all over the world know what God's doing because City Lights Church said, "Come Holy Spirit," and meant it. I don't want people to think of City Lights Church as a place where only perfect people go. I thank God for righteousness. I thank God for the standards of holiness, and I will continue to preach those. And when people start to do wrong things, I'm going to wait for the leading of the Holy Spirit to deal with that rather than saying, "You're not playing by the rules." I get so mad when I think of how I have treated some people without the Holy Spirit. I don't have a lot of regrets in my life. Most of you know that I seek to live my life just doing what He wants me to. And once or twice I've gotten that wrong. I'm not like Doug. He's perfect. I'm certainly not like my wife. She's perfect. Even more perfect than Doug. And Gary, well, he's on a completely different level to the rest of us. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? You know, I'm embarrassed sometimes by the way I've treated people in order to get them to live by my rules. People talk about getting older and wiser. I think as the older I get, the more I realize how stupid I've been sometimes. Gary saying, "Yes, I realize how stupid you are." Now, you ask people that have been around for a couple of years. You know, you just realize you don't know as much as you thought you knew when you first started out. That's why my prayer for my sons and my son's generation is, God, take them twice as far in half the time with double the impact than my generation. You guys don't have 55 years to waste. I'm not saying Jesus is coming back before 55 years. I hope He does some days. But, you know, I'm not saying we need to live our lives by that. I'm saying we need to live our lives in a way that says, "Hey, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I've seen the mistakes you've learned. I honor your sacrifice and I honor your experience. But I'm going to learn from that and I'm going to go further because I don't want to make those same mistakes. I want to listen to the Holy Spirit's convicting me, saying, do this, don't do that. Go here, don't go there. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." I don't want to be a 60-year-old juvenile in the kingdom of God. I want Paul at 30 or however old you are now, Paul, to be doing the things that I'm doing when I'm 55. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We can talk about discipleship and training and systems and all the rest of the stuff in this church. I am so sick of systems. I want people to catch Pentecost. Not just 50 days after Easter, but every day of our lives, because Jesus was raised from the dead. You know how Jesus was raised from the dead? Do you know how Jesus was raised from the dead? By the Spirit. Romans 8:11. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Hello? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your bodies if you will allow Him to live in you. Think about that for a moment. Well, then, praise God, I need a little bit of healing today. I've got a runny nose. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will stop my snot from falling all over my face. See what I mean? Some of us get more upset that I said snot in a message than we've missed the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that took the beaten, broken body of Jesus, that literally had every drop of blood drained out from Him, that was beaten so much it was a miracle He was even alive when He was nailed to the cross. The same Spirit that raised Him out of that tomb after being embalmed in probably 50 or 60 pounds of embalming spices and ointments. The same Spirit that took Him out of that mummified wrappings that He was wrapped in according to the custom of the day. The same Spirit that got Him out of that tomb that had a 2-ton rock on the face and was guarded by the most elite unit in the Roman army. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Same Spirit. The same Spirit dwells in you, or wants to. That's how the knowledge of the glory of God is going to fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Well, that's really good, Ian, but can you just hurry this up? I got a picnic to go to. Please, I'm not putting people down. If you've got something to go to, I understand schedules. I understand all of that. But church, do you get? When I said this morning, I feel like heaven is straining to get through to us. It's that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is saying, just give me a chance. Just give me a chance, Judy. Just give me a chance, Reed. Just give me a chance, Paul or Joe. Just give me a chance. Just give me a chance. Oh, but you know, I've been praying for healing for all these years and I haven't got it yet. Look at me, I'm in debt. Look at my life. Look at my relationships. Look at my life now. Look at where I am. Look at where I could be. Look at what I've lost. Look at what I've gained. Look at what's come and what's gone. Well, maybe we've been looking at the wrong thing. 500 people. 500 people, probably 500 plus people, heard Jesus say, they were there when Jesus said, go in all the world, preach the gospel. 500 people heard Him say, and you will receive dunamis. Oh, I wish we had time for a Bible study on dunamis. You will receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We talk about the word dynamite, and we try to compare it to dunamis. Dynamite's got nothing on dunamis. When we talk about dunamis, we're not just talking about explosive power. We are talking about power that is so miraculous. So miraculous. We can't even begin to comprehend. In fact, let me use a verse that I've beat you up with over the last 2 years. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. what God has prepared through his dunamis for those who will love him and wait for him. 500 people heard Jesus say that. 120 of them were left 10 days later in the upper room when dunamis came. When dunamis was released, I should say, the Spirit came and released dunamis in the people. An unschooled, uneducated, cowardly fisherman stands up and says, this is that. This is what? Well, this, the release of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. What you're seeing happen here today is that that we're talking about. Signs, wonders, miracles. You know, I mentioned before we've seen earthquakes and we've heard about ISIS and all the rest of it. And you know what our first go-to is? Well, this is it, guys. We better pull the shutters down because Jesus is coming back. And I kind of hear heaven say, don't put the shutters down. Take the walls down. Open the doors. Bring as many people as you can. I used to believe, I was telling Doug and Jerry this, when I was in my 20s, I used to believe I would never see 40. Then I turned 39. And I thought, well, I don't mind if you come back, Jesus, but I'm starting to see there's more of a work that I need to do that you want me to do. And I have never prayed that Jesus would not come back in the sense that I'm not ready. If I've ever prayed, Jesus, don't come back, it's because there's one more. There's one more thing you've got me to do. Now, if Jesus comes in the next 30 seconds, I'm prepared for him. But I'll tell you, there's part of me that hopes he doesn't because there's so much more that has to be done. I don't think my assignment is finished yet. You guys have heard me say, I pray I go, I die preaching. Shock the heck out of the congregation, but maybe that's what they might need. But, you know, I want to go on assignment. Not sitting on some beach in Costa Rica somewhere spending my retirement money, which we don't have. You know, I want to be so full of the Spirit that the mortal body, and I understand we need to take care of the body. This body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I understand we need to take care of it. Church, I'll tell you, there have been times when this body has not felt like standing up and preaching. There have been times this body has not even felt like showing up. I know that's not what you want to hear your pastor say, but there are times when that's happened. Do you know what keeps me going? It's the dunamis. It's Pentecost. Not the denomination, but the biblical revelation and experience. It's the infilling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. It's that dunamis, that dynamic. So when I need to be quiet and gentle, I can be quiet and gentle, but still as powerful. When I need to be explosive, I can be explosive and still not cause damage. That's dunamis. Ever seen those controlled explosions? You know, where they bring a certain building down, the buildings right next to it are unscratched. That's dunamis. That's the kind of power of the Holy Spirit. He'll bring down what he needs to bring down. And he'll cradle what he needs to cradle. That's dunamis. That's what he wants the church filled with. When I was in Australia, I preached for the first time in 7 weeks. And I want to tell you, I was good. No, I wasn't. I stood up there, and I was literally shaking. And it wasn't because I was afraid. It was because my body has been on narcotic painkillers for 8 weeks. And, you know, my neck was hurting, and, you know, I could still feel the effects of the operation it's just been a month since I had the last operation. And my body was shaking and trembling physically. And I know some people would say to me, well,
are you doing? Shouldn't you be taking time to rest? And I probably should. But see, there's something greater than my surgery and my discomfort and my need for pain-killing drugs. There's something greater in me that drives me. And Marie will tell you, and I'm not saying this as a bolstering thing, but I think I've learned over the last 30-something years of ministry that our physically weakest moments, if we will allow Him to, would be the greatest times that the Holy Spirit can use us. Because it's all Him, it's not us. And I stood up there, and how many of you appreciated that meeting with Sean Bolts? That was so good. We had him the whole conference, and I'll tell you, some of the words he gave was so powerful. And we can get carried away by the accuracy of the things that he said to us by word of knowledge, but see, that wasn't it. What that was doing is God just saying, "Listen, I've got your address. This is what I want to say to you." And I pray you didn't miss what he said prophetically because he knew your birthday or your anniversary or something else about you, your name. That's not what it's about. And as I stood up to preach on Mother's Day, let me back up. On the last night of the conference, on the Friday night, Sean said, I believe that all believers should be functioning in this. And it's something that I really believe. And he said, so I want to pray for everyone that would like the Lord to use them in this realm. And he was trying to explain how he wanted that to happen. And I just walked up and stood right in front of him. He goes, "Do you need to say something?" I go, "No, I wanted to be the first." You remember that, Joe? I stood up there with my wife. And so he began to pray for us. And I walked away, and I can't say I felt any jolt of lightning or anything like that. I just thought, okay, Lord, this is real. And so I went away, and on Mother's Day, I'm standing up in front of this church, and the Lord began to drop words, and I thought, oh, man, now I'm really shaking. And I probably ministered, I don't know, half a dozen words or maybe more, and probably 60% of them were on. And, I love what Sean said. The more you do this, the more you learn to listen to what is real. You recognize what is God and what is just you're trying to do something. My brother was telling us, my brother goes to this church as well, and he was telling us at the dinner table just the night before we left, he goes, "You wouldn't believe how many people came to me and said, I wanted him to pick me, but I didn't want him to pick me." There was a couple of things... The Lord began to show us. There was one word he gave me. He says about a guy named Aaron. He gave me a date. And the 16-year-old kid comes up, and I didn't know him from Adam. And he comes up, and I began to speak a prophetic word to him. I had a word for the youth pastor. Then I went up to this other church on the Gold Coast. Mother's Day was good because the first time we've been with our mothers in 15 years, and both our mothers were in the service, so that was kind of cool. But then on the Tuesday, I went up to the Gold Coast, which is kind of like a Florida, Miami, South Beach kind of area in Australia, just a resort type place. And this guy, he's 30-something years old, and I was best man at his parents' wedding. And that's how we know him. I was best man at his parents' wedding, and I was the first, if not one of the first, to hold Joel on the day he was born, after his parents did. And so that's the kind of history we had. Now, this guy, Joel, went out 2 years ago and planted a church on the Gold Coast. And today, they've ministered to over 1,500 people. 2 years. The fastest growing church in Australia. And he said to me, "Ian, we're doing 4 or 5 services on a Sunday, and there's no room to allow the Lord to move and for the dynamic of the Holy Spirit, because we got to get 1,500 people through a 300-seater auditorium in 4 or 5 services." He said, "So what we're doing is on a Tuesday night now, we've got a meeting where people can be introduced to or experience the Holy Spirit." And so I went up on the Tuesday night. I'll tell you, this 300-seater auditorium was jammed to the rafters. And some of you saw the photos on Facebook. My computer's on the fritz, so I can't I couldn't show you, but you know, just standing there, ministering to these people, and they're all hungry. You could feel them drawing it out of you. And once again, this word of knowledge and prophetic word begins to flow. And I had a word for the pastor as well. It was amazing because his wife wasn't able to be there because of their kids. But, you know, I just said, look, I don't know your wife. And I'd never met his wife. We haven't been in touch for 20-something years. But I said, the Lord's speaking this date to me and these numbers. And it turned out to be his address and his wife's birthday. And then from that, I was able to minister a prophetic word to them. And there were some things about it, and I'm not going to say them publicly because I said some things publicly and some things privately to him about his wife and his ministry that were uplifting and encouraging. You know, God doesn't want to shred you. Do you understand that? Holy Spirit didn't come to shred you. He came to build you up, put you back together. And that's one thing we got to remember. He didn't come to... You know, we want to be like Nathan the prophet. You are that man, you adulteress. You know, God, Jesus didn't send his Holy Spirit to do that. And so as we're beginning to minister this word, suddenly the Lord began to drop in words for other people in the meeting that night. I'll tell you, church, I was wet with sweat, but I really felt like wetting myself because this was, I mean, I've done word of knowledge and prophetic words before. And I've always asked the Lord, give me something that's meaningful to someone. And usually the Lord will do that. And there's a word or a phrase in the prophetic word I speak that will connect with someone. But, you know, now it's like, okay, I remember I called for this lady that was a nurse. And the Lord showed me 2 months. No specific dates, just 2 months. And so there's this lady that was on the worship team. She goes, oh, that's me. And she goes, the first one is my birthday, but the second one, I don't know about the second one. Her husband calls out from the congregation, it's our anniversary! And I had to say, thank God for husbands that remember anniversaries. But, you know, I spoke, and the Lord just began to say, look, you know, I think God is teaching, God is leading you to do something about... marriage and parenting. And the places went nuts. Because just a week before, they'd started a parenting class as a small group. Now, you know, and I'm not saying that to say, oh, wow, I've come into something new. I'm saying God wants to bring the church into something new. And as long as I've been doing this, church, and as much success as I've had with this, I've had a few stumbles along the way as well. And to be ministering on this level scares me. Because if you get it wrong, you look like a fool. But when you get it right, it brings freedom. And the Lord wants us to understand, he's given us his Holy Spirit, so that certainly we need that tension of understanding when we blow it, it's not good. But that's how much more, instead of scaring us out of doing it, it should make us all the more lean on the Holy Spirit. Show me, lead me. We sing, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, while we're looking at our watches. We sing, Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me. And we think, I don't have time for that now. Holy Spirit, give me a word that will demonstrate to these people that you know where they're at. Oh, I can't say that. Give me their name, Lord. I'm praying God will give me phone numbers and addresses and deep things that so personal that only they know. Not embarrassing personal stuff, but stuff that only they would know. Just to let people know that Holy Spirit knows about them. See, that's the power of Pentecost. That's it. And then we don't have to worry about, you know, we don't have to worry about the homosexual lobby, because when homosexuals or adulterers or
liars or cheats or whatever come in or engage that kind of atmosphere, that kind of level of the Holy Spirit, when they engage that, they immediately come under the work of the Holy Spirit, which is to convict concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment, to lead us and to guide us in all truth, to help us and to comfort us, and to bring a revelation of Jesus. We've been trying to give people a revelation of our rules and regulations and wondering why the church is failing, when what they need is a Holy Ghost-inspired, a Holy Spirit-filled revelation of Jesus. And we've been trying to tell them they're wrong when we should be trying to show them how right Jesus is. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we should not care about the rest. I'm saying we should care about Jesus and His Holy Spirit more. Because without Him, the homosexual does not have the power to change. Without Him, the radical Islamist does not have the power to change. They've been driven by the God of this world. They've been driven by rebellion instead of revelation. Now think about those two things. They're both different ends of the same spectrum, really. I follow Jesus because of a revelation my heart has received. These guys are as committed to their causes because of the rebellion that's in their hearts. And they think it's revelation. And they'll preach it as revelation. But when you line it up with the truth of the Word of God, and by the way, Jesus said, Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. We cannot expect a sinful world to understand the truth of God's righteousness if we're trying to preach the message in our own strength. I don't care how many debates you have, and I think it's entertaining to engage people in good, respectful discourse and discussion. I think that's an excellent thing. But the whole point of that engagement should be that we allow the Holy Spirit an opportunity to bring revelation. I have never convinced anyone, not an atheist, not a homosexual, not any kind of a sinner, I've never convinced anyone to become a Christian. I simply preach the gospel in my own flawed way, and Holy Spirit does the work. That's the power of Pentecost. That's why we sing songs like, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. That's why we sing, you move and we want more. And as much as it's, you know, yea, thus verily the Lord is pleased with you and is going to take you and cause you to plant 10,000 churches and give you this and give you lots of money and you're going to have a bigger house and instead of two Suburbans, you're going to have three. And, you know, I mean, all that's great, but what's it really changing? See, the Word of God comes and divides the soul from the spirit. The Word of God, if that was a word, I'm going to use Doug here because I know he's mature enough to not take this as a word from God, but just an example. But if I was to say to Doug, you know, Doug, God's speaking to you, and He's going to give you three cars, and He's going to give you a bigger house, and He's going to remove all debt from your life, and He's going to give you a flow of income that you don't even have to work half as hard for as you're working now, and He's going to do this stuff, and He's going to cause you to go around the country and plant churches all over the place, and there's going to be a movement started up, and it's going to be the Lucas Family Carpet Cleaning Church. Now, that I can give him a word like that, and he would be encouraged, and we'd say, see, that's scriptural. But if that was really a word from God, it would divide the soul from the spirit in Doug. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, all right? And we're talking about Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit comes and brings that word, it will divide the soul from the spirit, so Doug would know by conviction what he needs to do in order to fulfill that word. He might not see the full thing, but he'll know the next step. And he'll have courage to take the next step. And he might not see the fulfillment of that for 10, 20, 30 years, but he'll know with deep conviction that's the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit has divided the soul, the feelings, from conviction, revelation. That's why we need Pentecost. So when God says, hey, you know, Paul and Janelle, what's January 21st mean to you? It's like, oh my gosh, he knew our wedding anniversary. Well, duh. What did God say? Do you get what I'm saying to you? He already knows everything. The power of Pentecost brings home the truth and the revelation. All right, there's probably 50 Bible studies we could do out of that. Stand up with